Thank you, Mr. Whitehead. Good morning. My name is Stephen Riley. I'm lead pastor here at Living Waters Church. And this is a moment that I knew would come someday. And it has, and that is a leadership transition at Father's Love. And Miss Marty is going to be speaking here in just a few minutes, and then you'll hear from the incoming directors as well. And so this is an exciting moment for me. Turn with me to Isaiah 61 in your Bible apps, your Bibles. I want to read a couple of verses here as I do this, my introductory part. And this few verses, Jesus Christ, when he, early in his ministry, it's recorded in Luke 4, stood up to speak in a synagogue. He opened this passage in Isaiah, and he ended up speaking about his ministry, describing and sharing the purpose of his ministry. And this is what he read. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedoms for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And of course, people who were listening to him, those Jewish people in the synagogue, would go, oh, he's saying that he's the Messiah? And yes, we know he is the Messiah. He is the sent one, and this is his purpose. This is what he does. He actually brings good news to the poor. He binds up and he heals the brokenhearted. He brings freedom to the captives, and he takes the darkness away from those who are in prison. And this, when I read this passage, I know after 23 years, is a perfect description of the ministry of Father's Love. In February 2013, we lived in Philadelphia. I was here in Kentucky to pray and interview with the board about becoming the next lead pastor of Living Waters. I was here for several days meeting with different leadership groups, and on the last day I said, I haven't been to the Father's Love building and seeing this location in downtown Shelbyville. Marty, I want to come by and arrange the time. And so I drove by in between an appointment, and I went in there and walked through the rooms as Marty was sharing what God's been doing in that place. And I said, Marty, can I just be alone for a minute down here in the lower level? And so she went back up, and I was just going to seek God for a while, listen to him as I was in a listen mode to God about our future ministry and so forth. And I sat down in a chair, and I jumped back up and said, God, I want to be a part of this. And God's Spirit just filled my spirit, and I was overwhelmed with a confirmation from heaven that this ministry is right on track. It is from God, and it's in the heart of God. It's on his priority list. And so when I did end up getting the final confirmation, when Lisa and I continued to fast and pray about God, the decision about coming here, I came with God speaking to me that this ministry is not a secondary ministry of Living Waters. It's a priority ministry of Living Waters. And it's been an honor to be a colleague of Miss Marty. We used to be neighbors in the offices up here back in the 90s. When I was youth pastor, she was children's minister first, and then founded in 1997 Father's Love Ministry and had these dual roles for many years. And then about 5 years ago, she transitioned to be able to focus completely in Father's Love. And I want to say, Miss Marty, you've kept in step with the Holy Spirit. You have followed and obeyed the Lord and your calling to do this very unique and important Father's Love Ministry. And it is an honor that I've been a colleague of yours, and it's an honor today to introduce you to come and come now and bring your section. Let's give this lady a big, big hand. Did we scare her off? Of course not. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Well, we are clapping unto the Lord because it is certainly God and God alone who has taken Father's Love on all of these years. In 1997, Father's Love had been birthed and had been growing for several months at a pace that was kind of surprising me. And Joel asked me if I would share on a Wednesday night. In that message, I shared about how, you know, what was going on down at Father's Love, and now it had really taken off very quickly. Now, I didn't say this during that message, I don't know. But the reality of being responsible for two congregations of children, you know, at that time we had 50 kids on a Wednesday night here at Living Waters, and then this growing inner city ministry, I was about to be swallowed up. I mean, I really was. It was a huge adjustment. And so when I looked at the end of the sermon at my teaching, Theresa Harden, who was the director of Operation Care, was standing right back there in front of where David Knopf is. I came off the platform, and I went straight to Theresa, and I said, Theresa, I can't do this. I cannot do this. This is too much. I can't handle all of this. And Theresa smiled, and she said, you can't, but he can. And if she said anything else to me that night, I sure don't remember it, because those words went straight to my heart. And so my 23-year go-to scripture is from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And many of us know it. We've hung on to it for our own personal reasons. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what I was struggling with. All my heart. There's no wiggle room with that. And lean not on your own understanding. My master's degree in education, zip. How many lunches I fixed, zip. How many kids were there that night? I can't lean on any of that. He made me a creative person, fine, great. But I can't lean on any of that. And that's what I was trying to do. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. As numbers grew, I trusted him with all my heart for locations. Two different times, he found locations for us to take for the kids because we were growing. He made that path straight. I trusted him with all my heart for volunteers, and he provided bus drivers, teachers, puppet team members, dance team people to help with the dance kids at Father's Love. Everybody who was wrapping up, you know, snack bags for the kids to take home. He made that path straight. I trusted him with all my heart for the decision when I left Living Waters to go downtown full time. This was a huge transition, and my own expectations for what was going to happen down there were high, and there were four areas that I know the Lord gave me that were crucial, necessary transition points so that Father's Love would be on sound footing for this day, which we didn't know was this day then. So he made these paths straight. I want to share those four areas with you because it's important for you to realize that actually this transition of being here at this day has been going on for many years. The first one was to purge the facility. And when I say purge, I mean purge. Here's what I did. I moved everything from Living Waters down to Father's Love so that it was, in some areas, you couldn't even navigate in the building. And I had all the stuff that was really from things that hadn't been going on here at Living Waters for 8 years. Stuff from back in the days of Kids Lead. So DeCandria Rucker came down there to help me, and I really needed it. I really needed it. Because she found in the middle of the mess one of those umbrella hats that fits on your head with elastic. So she'd be walking around with that on, and I'd say, okay, we need to keep these things. These props are so nice, we might need them. And she'd say, Miss Marty, they have to go. Those go to a worship song that nobody's played in their church in 10 years. So, you know, so she really helped me. We got rid of so much stuff that we had to call Philip Crittenden to come pick it up and take it to the dump. The second area was establishing relationships with other churches and with businesses. Now, I can't tell you how important it was to have Kenny Mitchell as my buddy at that time. I didn't know anything about the businesses in town unless I was in there spending money. But Kenny knew the organizations, and he knew who some of those leaders were. He introduced me to those people. When we moved into that building downtown, because of him and his associations, every drop of paint, brushes, any hardware we needed, that was all donated to us through relationships that Kenny established and introduced me to. Then 11 years down the road, by that time, Christ Community had decided that they were going to partner with us financially and also through Love Shelbyville Days. So we had a Love Shelbyville Day down there, and I saw Tori Smith walking down the sidewalk and coming in the door. And I'm not quick to throw this phrase around, that God, you know, God told me this, that, or the other, but it came in my spirit, these words: you are about to turn a corner. And through the people that we have met, through Tori, through his business wisdom, he has helped Father's Love tremendously. And through that, he sponsored a Chamber of Commerce event where he put a spotlight on Father's Love, and all of these people came to it. We got lunch orders out of that. You know, I mean, it was a big jump start for us in the community. So I was very grateful for that. By that time, I had gone to four different churches, and we had people, women from different churches, who were helping with the lunch program. And so those things are started, and they've grown some, but I know with the way Gerald loves to network with people that that is going to go through the roof. I know it will. The third area, and this one was kind of, well, it was hard. It was very hard, and I don't even know how long it actually took. People would tell me as I was going around meeting different folks, you know, well, you really need to come out from underneath Living Waters Church, because that will hold you back from being able to get more donations and things like that. If they know that you're associated with the church, people expect the church to do all of that. But I knew that that wasn't possible for what God had in mind for the ministry. So I knew that there were ways to separate, but I wanted us to stay under our board. I wanted we are an outreach of Living Waters Church. I wanted our board to be our board. I know that you all are praying for us. I just knew the relationship. But I didn't know what that process was. So I spoke to Stephen and to Gerald, and I said, you know, this really needs to be done, but I don't want to have any part of it. And I didn't. They did that. How long did that? Was that a year? 2 years. Oh, my gosh. So 2 years to work on that. Oh, my goodness. But, I mean, it involved. I don't know what it involved, because I wasn't a part of it. Except that when I was out in Colorado last summer, Gerald called me one day and he said, okay, Marty, there's a Zoom meeting, and you have to be at this meeting because the attorney needs to talk to you. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. But anyway, that was a very big deal. So right now, Father's Love is an integrated auxiliary coupled with Living Waters Church. So you can take that home and talk about that at lunch. The next part was that I knew that our finances had to come out from Living Waters and just have separate accounts. If we were going to have things where people could donate online, we had to, you know, be able to have our own bank accounts and all that kind of stuff. And so that was going to involve Mike Ellis. And Mike Ellis was already down there. He retired from farming about the same time that I went down there full time. Now, bless his heart, Mike really thought that he was going to do home ministry and get to meet with families and do all of that kind of stuff. And we got so covered up with all this, the admin transitional stuff, that I don't think he ever knocked on one door. But he opened up a lot of doors. I mean, what Mike Ellis has done down there in that building is unbelievable. He's done everything from hanging the mailboxes out there. He photo-documented every event that we had. He took all the pictures of the kids as they were coming in and out. But his most famous work was his jerry-rigging of electricity. The building on the lower level was always very warm, and they had really good air conditioners are up on the second floor. So I walked in one morning, and he had two box fans hanging in the doorway. They weren't on the floor. They were hanging in the doorway to get the cold air to go down to the lower level. And I thought, well, this is great. And I went down there, and it really did work. But there was no way we could keep it like that with kids coming in and out of the building. So it had to come down, and then it would go back up. He was just so creative. Anything that he did down there was for us to be more comfortable in one way or another. But he hung extension cords and Christmas lights. The pastor's daughter required Christmas lights in her area downstairs. And, of course, you know, we thought, yeah, it was great. She was having a little cafe set up. So we only had two outlets in that whole back area of that building. So it was, we plugged into this extension and then this extension, and I had to run stuff down here, there, and there. Well, it was all right. We thought we were all having a good time until the fire department came to do their inspection. And it was three guys that I didn't know. I had never seen them before. And they were going through the whole building, and then they would get together and they would talk for a minute. And then they would go into another area and they would talk for a minute. And finally they came up to me and they said, we really need to call the chief or the captain, whatever. We really need to get him down here and look at this because there's just some things that are questionable. And so I think my memory's right. I think I called Mike. I think Mike came down there. But anyway, while we were waiting, and you talk about awkward pause, I didn't know these guys at all, and they were just kind of standing there waiting for the chief to get there. And so, you know me, I said, do we get any points at all for creativity? And he looked at me and he said, well, no, not when it's a fire hazard. So anyway, that was the fun part for Mike. I think he really did like that, you know, creative stuff. And ask him sometime, next time you see him, ask him about the slip and slide that he wanted to design for camp. But now this whole thing was separating the finances was really a big deal for him. Again, most of that fell on him. He knew the people to call and all of that kind of stuff. And so that I know took at least a year. And then Carol came down to help. And so she was logging everything that Mike was doing. And so I don't know how long that take, Carol. A year, 2 years for that? Probably 2 years for that. So anyway, when those four admin areas were settled, I was very happy about that. But now, while that's going on, there's another development that's going on over in the actual hands-on teaching. 7 years ago, the Terrells came here and out at a dinner out in the Fellowship Hall. I was introduced to them, and Gerald wanted to talk about Father's love and all of this, and he told me a little bit of their story and stuff. And when they left that night, he came back over to me, and he said, did you say Monday night is when you all meet? And I said, yes. And he looked at me with a look that will stay recorded in my heart forever. And he said, we'll be there. And they were every week after that. Because my time was more consumed with admin, I really didn't have time to prepare for classes anymore. So I came out of the classroom area because it was obvious to me that the Terrells had all the giftings and the spiritual grounding that would be needed to someday pass a baton. And I didn't talk to them about that at that point, but I watched them in action. I gave them more responsibilities. Anything that they touched, they excelled. And I would just pray and ask the Lord, are these the ones? Now, this is years ago. There were qualities and behaviors that are, you know, that you just, when you're the one who's carrying the mantle, you know, you just look for these things in other people. And their lifestyle in and out of Father's love just showed Christ and serving him in every aspect. And I've been in and out of their house hundreds of times, been around the family. The kids would come down there and they would just make themselves at home and just kind of hang out and do whatever, get board games out while Michelle's running around doing all of this stuff. And it reminded me a lot of what the close-up ministry was for my kids. And that felt good because I knew my kids didn't have any regrets about any of that. Their home was an open door for anybody that is in need. One night when they were teaching, I asked myself, would you want Jaina and Bryn sitting in this class? And my answer to myself was absolutely, absolutely. Years ago, I read in a leadership book that a big part of leadership is surrounding yourself with people who can do the job better than you. And it was becoming more and more obvious to me that these people had the goods for sure. They have close relationships with people that are always fun. And before you know it, Elliot Lopez is driving the bus for summer camp. Judy and Ray Ford got to be very close with them. And Judy and Ray now on the Monday nights, they're part of Monday night junior high age group. But whenever you know, there would be a spot, you know, Judy would just willingly come down and do whatever needed to be done. So more and more, I wasn't needed to cover the empty spaces. The Terrells were rocking it. And then they totally took over the Tuesday night elementary classes, I think 2 years ago. I don't know. Don't hold a gun at my head for any of these dates. It's just a blur. But then last year, they took over the junior high as well. So I could not be more pleased. And I mean genuinely excited to see what their leadership is going to do, coupled with God. Now, did I go out and recruit them? No, they came to me. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. God brought them right up to me at that dinner that night. Now, the next jewel on this leadership team is Pam Fothy. I'm sorry, I'm wiping my nose. Pam and I go way back. Pre-Matee days. Back in the 90s, Pam taught in our children's department. And after she and Matee were married and they left this church, it was really a hole for me in the department. Pam is now, what she was then, an excellent, excellent teacher. She's a primo mother and a Holy Spirit-guided sense of knowing exactly how to direct these kids that come into Dreamers Rise. She can spot their needs in a heartbeat, and she knows exactly what resources to use to help them. Last year, she stepped into the team leadership on that. So because she and Michelle are both homeschool moms, I mean, they could pull 20 ideas out of their sleeves on how to do a certain lesson and stuff. They're just wonderful to watch. But Pam is also a prayer warrior, and she is full of faith. She reminds me of something that I heard Michael Todd, who is a pastor that I listened to out of Tulsa once in a while. He said his mother had so much faith that she could take a wooden stick match and pray it into a California redwood tree. I thought that was so funny. That's Pam. Now, another thing that I noticed just as I'm watching, you know, over the last couple of years, Pam and Michelle have become very good friends. So they hang out together. The kids hang out together. Now, here's what happens when you've got that within your team. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of dreaming. There's a lot of things that go on that aren't even inside the Father's Love building. So the year that I had to leave, I had said to them at the end of the winter, early spring, I said, you know, we need to get a meeting together here now and start talking about camp and stuff like that. Michelle said, oh, we've already done that. We know what the themes and everything are going to be. And so I thought, gosh, that is great, because out of that friendship, you know, was just birthing ideas and stuff. So that was really great. And who knew that Tony was going to have those three seizures and take Randy and I out of Shelbyville for 3 months. And that was the summer we had 4 weeks of camp. And I was there for one. They handled all the rest of it. They even got the food in there for free. Michelle Terrell. You don't mess with it. Did you? I don't know if you noticed when you came in, there was a picture of Michelle and Judy and Pam all dressed up for the tea that they did. I thought they looked so cute in those outfits. Don't you cross them. Those three women, they could organize anything. Now, last but certainly not least is Levi Kamer. Levi and his wife Amy are Southeast. They go to Southeast, and they're involved in the Southeast plant that's out here. Amy knocked on the door a couple of years ago, and again, trust in the Lord. He will make your path straight. I didn't even know who she was. And she had been on staff at Southeast, but they'd moved out here, and she was looking for a place where she could work with kids. Fabulous, fabulous teacher. We have a four-drawer file cabinet down at Father's Love that she is filled with thousands. I'm not exaggerating. Thousands of lessons for any of our teachers, whatever they would need. She works behind the scenes. She's got a little boy that's two, writes curriculum, and she works at our lunch ministry. But she said that her husband, Levi, who is an accountant, was interested in helping with Father's Love, too. So right when all of the separation is finished that Mike had to do, here comes Levi now wanting to help and be a part of the team. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own. I couldn't have found those people on my own for anything. The Lord brought them. He brought them to Father's Love. And so for the last 7 years that we have come to this point in time. And I'm very excited about it. I'm very happy about it. The food ministry is one that I'm still working on and trusting God to. I keep thinking, okay, if we're not, show me if we're not supposed to do this. I mean, I don't know. And then this week we had 7 new customers, and Friday I got a phone call about another factory that's interested in getting the lunches. And so it keeps growing. So pray for us, pray for me in that, that I will know who that is supposed to be and if it's supposed to be. So I'm acknowledging him in all of this. Marty Brown could not have done this. No way. No way. This is all God Almighty, like Stephen said. This is his ministry, and he loves it, and he is going to take this next crew and launch it. Thank you.
Now, I introduce to you our incoming director, Gerald Terrell, and our Student Ministries Director, Michelle Terrell. Let's give them a big hand as they come up. Woo.
Thank you all. Am I on? I'm on. Okay. Thank you all so much. Marty, we want to say a huge thank you to you for obeying the calling that God put on your heart 23 years ago, for trusting God with all your heart for these children in downtown Shelbyville. You have pioneered this ministry 23 years ago, and we know that there's been many, many of you in this church that has played such vital roles in this ministry, and it's because of the constancy and the commitment and the faithfulness you've all had at Father's Love. It's been able to touch the lives of many children and families in our community. It's come alongside so many families through good times, through bad times. There's such genuine friendships and family connections that have been made through this ministry and through this time. Father's Love has been a place I just love to see all the churches in the community, how they come together in unity, with one accord, to reach the next generation for the kingdom. And that's such a beautiful thing when all the churches come together under one roof. The last 7 years, like Marty said, we came here 7 years ago, and we have been serving under Marty's leadership. And it has been such a amazing, rich, learning, growing season for us. When we first came to Living Waters Church, we were warned that if you hang around Marty too long, she's going to find something for you to do. And she's definitely always found something for us to do, but she has definitely stretched us in our abilities, and it has been a wonderful 7 years under her. She is ingrained in us. Blessed are the flexible, for you don't get bent out of shape, because she will stretch you. She has believed in us. She has helped us to grow personally, spiritually, as leaders, as a kids' church teacher. Marty is passionate about Jesus. She's passionate about children. She isn't afraid to roll up her sleeves and have fun and get dirty. She is so faithful and compassionate. And so it's just, she's just been the best mentor and teacher that we could ask for. We've learned so much through her and knowing her. And we know we have some big shoes to fill. So some of our back history, 12 years ago, we found ourselves serving in a downtown ministry in Lexington, Kentucky. And we would visit families door to door. We would go door to door throughout this neighborhood in this rougher area in Lexington. And we would visit families with practical needs and also spiritual needs we would help try to meet. Up to that point, though, we were really just attending church. But while we were there, God strategically placed people in our lives during that time that helped us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And he started opening our eyes to his grace. And it's amazing how when we humble ourselves to serve others, we can gain so much more. And that's what happened for us at our time in that ministry. And we were part of that ministry for several years there. And one of the things we did, we'd gather the children. We started gathering the children and having a Sunday school weekly Bible lesson at a local building there. And then a women's Bible study and dinner started. A men's Bible study started from that. We would go down on Sunday mornings and pick up anybody that wanted to go to church with us. But there was one family that I'll never forget. It was a grandmother, and there was probably at least seven grandkids and great-grands and living with her and children. I don't even know how many because there was always people in and out of this house. But we invited her one weekend to our house, one Easter Sunday, to our house for a lunch and just to hang out, to fellowship together. And so we picked them up, and we brought them over. The kids played in the yard. We had an egg hunt, and we just had fun at the house. But I'll never forget at the end of that afternoon how she looked at me and she said, "No one has ever done anything like this for us before. No one's ever invited us into their home." You know, something that can seem so little to us, that wasn't to cook meal for somebody and invite them over. We just never know what can be so huge and bless somebody and minister to them. We have to love people where they are, and that's what Jesus did for us. Our love is an action, and it's what compels us. It compels others and provokes them to want to know Jesus. And so that's where our passion for urban ministry, and especially children, started, was through that time. We moved to Shelbyville about 7 years ago, and we didn't know anyone here. We left everything there. Gerald got a job in Louisville, and Lord told us Shelbyville, not knowing anything about Shelbyville. And then we ended up here at Living Waters Church. And after only three visits, like Marty said, we met her at a dinner one evening. And she told us about Father's love. And I remember how excited we were to hear about this ministry. And so we visited the next Monday and the next Monday and the next Monday and the next Monday. And she couldn't get rid of us. We've been volunteering ever since. The children are just, they're precious. They are precious to us. And we know that they're precious to God. And the families that we have met they've become friends. We never had plans to do anything more than to continue volunteering. We served as leaders on the elementary school nights, the junior high and senior high nights, as summer camps, and we've grown friends with the families throughout the years, and we were content just doing that, just being volunteers. But about 2.5 years ago, Gerald and I were attending a homeschool convention, and I won't ever forget this day. The Lord spoke clearly to me during that homeschool convention, and Father's love was not on my radar, that this is your heart, and at the time, I didn't know exactly what that meant. I knew, yeah, I love being down there, but I didn't know what that meant. But not long after that, Marty was talking about retiring. And so we talked to Marty about kind of what the Lord put on our heart, and we didn't still know exactly what that meant 2.5 years ago, and it never crossed my mind that we would be standing here today. I want to share a story from the book of Esther. It comes from Esther. I don't have it on the screen, but it's Esther chapter 4, and it's 13 through 17. I'm just going to share a few scriptures, so I'm going to tell you kind of the backstory. The king is looking for a queen. He got rid of the last one, and this is my shortened Michelle paraphrase here. He got rid of the last one, and he calls a beauty contest to choose the next queen. He calls all the maidens in his land to be primped and prepped and perfumed and just beautified. And so Esther, this Jewish woman, is part of these ladies, these maidens that he is looking at. And she had to keep silent about who she was and who her people were. But she was the one chosen to be queen to this prideful and powerful king. One day, her uncle Mordecai hears of a plot by the king's top advisor to slaughter all of the Jews in one day. And so her uncle sends a message to Esther, who's the queen, to ask her something that only she can do because she is in this palace in the around the king. And so that's where I'm going to read from verses 13. This is the message that Mordecai sends to Esther. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther sent a reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights or day. I and my young woman will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And so Mordecai went away and did all that Esther had asked him to do. So Mordecai, he told Esther, if you keep silent right now, someone else is going to come and deliver us. Her uncle was asking her to make a huge sacrifice, to do a really difficult thing. It was illegal. It was a no-no. They don't do that. She shouldn't go to him if she wasn't called. She could have been killed. And then to say to him that your top advisor, Haman, has an evil plot and that he's conjured up. But what was at stake was the decimation of her people, the Jews. You know, there is so much tension, racial tension, fear, uncertainty, a pandemic, political unrest, division and conflict in our world right now, that we're living in really uncertain times. And we can't be silent about what's going on. We can't be silent about the gospel, because that's what brings the healing and the wholeness to the people. God has called us, you know, through all this pandemic when churches have been closed, he's calling us and he's placed callings on each one of our hearts. He's calling us outside of these four walls to reach the harvest. And he says to his people, arise, for the light has come, and we are to bring that light into the darkness. And he's prepared us for this time. Mordecai knew that what he was asking her could have been scary and difficult, but he said, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And it's no coincidence that we are sitting here today, that we're sitting in this room, that we're sitting in this season, that we're sitting in this year, 2020, and God's put us right here for such a time as this, because God has a purpose for each one of us. God's given some of you specific callings, and we have encounters with people every day, and we can't be silent. Sometimes we have to take chances that brings us outside of our comfort zone. So we have to arise, because we have been primed, we have been prepped, we have been prepared by the light of Jesus, and he started this good work in us to bless others. And we have the hope and the love to shine the light that has been given to us. We're so grateful that Father's love has had this rock-solid foundation that Marty and so many others have started over the last 23 years. And we know that this ministry has been led by God. We want to go where God is, and we know that he is part of this ministry. We know that his heart is for these children. Looking back through all the different experiences Gerald and I have had, different seasons of life, we believe that he's put us here for just a season as this. We didn't ask for this. We didn't grow up dreaming that this would be what we would do one day, teaching kids, kids church or anything like that. This was a calling that God put on our hearts, and he prepared us for it, and we just said yes. It's been a leap of faith, just like Esther. We're unsure of the future, but we know, just like Marty said, like we have to learn to trust God with all of our heart. And so Esther needed all of her people to be praying, and that's what we need, because we know with God all things are possible. And so we ask that you all will continue to pray for us, to support the people in the community, to continue to follow God and reach more kids, and just trust him with all his heart. We're so grateful to continue the impact that Father's love has had in our community by reaching the heart of kids with the love of Jesus and seeing lives and the community transformed through Christ. We're so thankful for each one of you to continue to invest and believe and hope for more for the kids in Shelbyville. I'm going to pass it off to Jared.
When they say that two become one, she represents us, our better half, and I'm so thankful for her. And I thank you, Michelle, for having a heart for the community, for the kids, and that we get to do this together. I mean, it's truly a blessing. And Miss Marty, I just want to follow up and say thank you again. These 7 years have been absolutely amazing under your leadership, learning everything that we've had to learn underneath you. Still a lot to learn, and I hope to be able to do that. And also to all the volunteers, I think just about everyone in this room and watching online has had a part to do with Father's Love, had some piece at some point has touched the lives of kids in this community. So thank you guys for that. There's probably not enough that you could say about Miss Marty Brown. About two or three nights ago, we posted a video announcing her retirement to the community. Going through the threads, it's amazing to see just so many comments of how much you've impacted the lives of individual people and our community. And so many people are thankful for the service that you've done. And you've just done an amazing job. Another, I want to thank Brandy, too, for being by her side, being the husband that has watched her and being a part of Father's Love all these years. And Lindsay, Vivian, Chase, if you're watching online, thank you. You've shared your life. You've shared the life of Marty and Randy with us, and they've become family to us, and we're so thankful for that. So as we've prayed and considered this decision to step into this next chapter of Father's Love, God kept bringing to my attention the story of the Israelites in the Promised Land. There were 12 spies that went into the land, and they all had to come back and bring back a report of what it was like there. And 10 of them came, all 10 came by, and they came back and verified that indeed the land that was prepared for them, the Promised Land, was a good land, a land filled with milk and honey. But there were 10 spies that brought a bad report, that there were giants in the land, that the giants were too big, the obstacles were too much for them to overcome. And that led the Israelites to be sent back into the wilderness to wander around, to never set foot into the Promised Land. But thankfully, there were two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, who had told the people that if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. For me, as I see Father's Love, I see Father's Love as that Promised Land, or rather, where God has called us into. We had a decision to make. We can either focus on what the 10 spies saw, the giants, the obstacles, the things that stood in our way, or we could be like the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who were obedient to step into the Promised Land, or for us, the calling that we believe that God has called us into. And God has called all of us into different areas of ministry. My encouragement to you is to stay in the Word, because we have to see God bigger than the obstacles that stand in our way, that could be keeping us from stepping into the calling that God has given us. Another story that God has impressed upon me during this time was the story of Esther. When Esther was being challenged by her uncle to stand up for the Jewish people and risk not only her securities, but her position as queen and also her very own life, she was to go before the king without first being called, which was punishable by death. Now, I know that our situation is not exactly the same. However, we're not going to die by doing this. But we are faced with the decision to leave the comforts and securities of a well-paying career that I love in a position that God allowed me to be in with my current employer to step out in faith into what God is calling us. We're living in extraordinary times right now with so much uncertainty. But the question is, has he called us for such a time as this? That's one of the questions that we had to wrestle with, and we believe so. By the world standard, this would seem to be very foolish, but we know that in Scripture that God says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, and I would much rather be a fool for God than be wise by the world standards. We also find in Scripture just how precious that children are to God. There was a time when Jesus was healing the sick and oppressed, and parents were trying to bring their children to Jesus. And his disciples saw this, and he rebuked them. And in Scripture, it says that Jesus was indignant when he saw this happening. And he told them to let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belong the kingdom of God. We just see the heart of God so clearly in Scripture. With everything going on in the world and obstacles that our kids are facing, I believe that as a body of believers, we must ask ourselves, are we called for such a time as this? The world, they'll embrace these kids, and many will feel welcome to the ways of the world. But we have a chance to believe, or we have a chance as believers to make a difference in the lives of this next generation. And Father's Love has just been a part of this community for 23 years. As Marty said, with God's help, we plan to continue to build on the foundation, the strong foundation that Miss Marty Brown has left. Just 3 years ago, we started an after-school tutoring program called Dreamers Rise. This very program is being led by an amazingly gifted, an amazingly talented Pam Sofi. Miss Pam and her group of volunteers provide a Christ-centered environment that is empowering our kids to dream. And a year ago, dance classes were added through a partnership with Elevate Dance Ministry out of Louisville. And this has been an incredible ministry that has allowed us to intertwine the creative arts with the gospel. So in the coming years, we do hope to expand these educational and creative arts opportunities that are available to our kids. Because the issues that we're facing in today's culture is a matter of the heart. And by reaching the hearts of these kids with the gospel and the love of the Father, we'll continue to impact their lives, our community, and society as a whole. And we're going to need God's help. We're going to need your prayers and the continued support of this ministry. Because these kids are worth it. So we just thank you for continuing to pray for us and supporting these kids in this ministry.
Could you guys stay close? I'm going to call you back up in just a few minutes. I have just a few minutes to bring this to an important close. It's more than just a closing, but it's giving us direction as a church body of how we are going to support this leadership transition. I really like this theme of this fundraiser for such a time as this. Because in our nation, in our economy, in our region, in our county, in our communities, this is a unique time of unrest, of uncertainty for many people and many people's hearts and minds. God is still on the throne. He is the one that is still our source. But Father's Love Ministry is needed more than ever, folks. And so this is a time for us to invest our time, our talent, and treasure into Father's Love more than ever. Now, I'm asking you to pray about that. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, there's a list of blessings when God's people obey him. And it says, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. And it has this long, wonderful list. And verse 6 says this, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That is what transition is, right? So there's a specific blessing from God during transition. For Marty and Randy, there's blessings in this transition. She's been preparing for this for years. She's prepared and developed a volunteer team of people from many churches. She's developed a leadership team. And Miss Marty, you have done well in this preparing for such a time as this in this transition. And over the 23 years plus the years before that here at Living Waters, you are, from the Lord and from my heart, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's give her another big hand. So transition time is a time of vulnerability if you don't continue to obey and follow the Lord. And that's why I am appealing to you and everybody at home and here to pray over how God wants you to support this leadership transition. Gerald and Michelle have done that step of faith where Gerald has left. He has announced to his employer the beginning of October that I'm going to be here another month, and then the beginning of November, I'm not working full-time anymore. So that, to be able to do that, says that they are saying yes to God and the calling of their life. And Lord, there's some mystery out there, what this is, how this is going to turn out, but I am stepping out in faith, and we're trusting you. And this family has done that. They have done that. And so I'm asking the Living Water spiritual family to join them in prayer and asking God, how can you contribute to this leadership transition? So the board of elders and deacons has been walking through with this leadership team, this transition. And we have prayed and we've decided that on November 8th, 4 weeks from today, we're going to take up a congregational offering to be available to help supply resources and compensation during this leadership transition season of several months. And I'm asking you to go before God and to say, God, what do you want us to give? We are going to have names for our goals in this November 8th financial giving. It comes out of 1 Corinthians 13. And if you know 1 Corinthians 13, that's the love chapter, right? It tells about this amazing love of God and how perfect it is. And that nothing compares to the love of God. And then it says this in verse 13. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. And so we see through Father's Love Ministry, it's a love ministry, that there's faith and there's hope and there's love. And so the board has decided in prayer and discussion that we have, using our faith, and we believe that God's going to provide a faith goal of $24,000 toward the leadership transition of this ministry. And you're going to have a chance to give into that on November 8th. But we want to open it up for the abundance of God to pour it out. And so if an additional 6,000 come in, then we're going to have a hope goal of 30,000. And if the Lord just keeps pouring it out, then there's going to be additional 6,000. And that's what we call our love goal of 36,000 total giving. This is a one-time offering for Father's Love from Living Waters to support the transition financial needs of this ministry. Now, you'll be seeing for such a time as this fundraiser on Facebook out to the community. And so over the next couple months in November, December, you'll see the video clips. We'll have some video clips to remind us of the many testimonies out of Father's Love Ministry. And you'll see them on Facebook. So there's also a separate fundraiser beyond this to the community to help build the budget for 2021 moving forward for Father's Love. And that's one of the levels and activities of Father's Love, is engaging the community even more in the area of financial provision. So you'll see those on Facebook. That's not going toward this faith, hope, or love goals, okay? That's a separate. Please, you know, if you would give the offering here at Living Waters or through Living Waters with a notation, don't give online to the Facebook page of Father's Love, because that'll go into that fundraiser. See the difference? And if you would channel your giving through Living Waters for this financial piece here. I want to now do something that our board did several months ago, and that is to name and approve and confirm our incoming director, Gerald Terrell, his wife Michelle as the student ministry coordinator, and Pam Sophie as the after school programs coordinator. The board has been processing this over a number of months. They've already approved this, and we as a spiritual body, we want to now pray over them and release this in God's blessing. So I'm going to ask Ms. Marty and Philip to come on stage with me. If the Terrells and Pam come here down front, here on the floor. And so I just want to say, yeah, come on, the whole family, great. That'd be awesome. Bring on little Judah as well. If y'all come down here on the floor, that's fine. And we're going to pray over you guys. You're fine. And we are just, we represent the board, and we are, our hearts are full for that this is a blessed transition and that this is God's timing. And that God's gonna, we are joining our faith with the Terrell family, that God is your provider, both as a family and in your ministry. And that moving forward, our faith is high. We're excited. We believe this is God's timing for this transition. All right. I'm going to start praying. You guys jump in when you want to. And Miss Marty, do you want to go first? I'll let you go first if you want to. Otherwise, I'll go first. Okay. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, we as your under-shepherds who oversee this ministry of Father's Love that you started 23 years ago. Well, God, we as under-shepherds release a blessing from heaven, from the board, from this spiritual family, over to Terrell's, over Pam. Lord God, that you are their provider in the physical, material area, the spiritual, the resource, the leadership area, the wisdom that they'll need, the discernment that they'll need as leaders. And Lord God, you are their empowerment. You have been, you've proved that, and Lord, that you continue to be there more than enough, that for such a time as this, you are blessing this transition. And Lord God, you are more than enough in this transition. We thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
That your presence, when they are in that building, sometimes there will be lots of times when they're alone in there, Father, but Father, I found that I was never alone in that building. And I pray that your presence will minister to them place in places where maybe they would never speak out to anybody else. Father, I pray that you give them the wisdom from heaven, the creativity from heaven, Lord, that they can, when every child that comes in that door, Father, your Holy Spirit will just download into their hearts exactly what the needs are, needs that maybe a child would never speak. Father, I just thank you for the gifting and the last 7 years that I've had with them. Father, I've learned as much from them as they have from me. Father, I pray that every step that they take, Lord, they're going to feel you right next to them. As we sang this morning, Father, in front, on the sides, behind, Father, just carry them. Let their time of abiding mean more now than it ever has before in their lives.
Father, I thank you that as we've listened today, it does appear that there's been an open heaven over Father's Love for 23 years. It has been just the curtains pulled back, and the blessing of God has flowed in such beautiful ways. And yet, those of us who walked alongside Marty and others who've served as volunteers through these 23 years, we know there's been a lot of sweat and toil. There's been a lot of prayer. There's been fasting. There's been work and ministry done to take the blessing from that open heaven and multiply it in the lives of literally scores, hundreds of children and families. Father, I'm asking you now, it does appear that you're going to step this up another notch or two, maybe quite a few, but there's an open horizon before these folks who are picking this up.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Lord, that the blessing of God is still there. The promises of God are still there. Thank you for faithful men and women who will step in the gap now. And we just thank you for the Terrells. We thank you for Pam, others that will be serving alongside them. We ask you now to just continue to make this ministry effective. We pray for the salvation of children. We pray for the salvation of their parents. We pray for the redemption and rescue of many lives from the clutches of the enemy, and that their feet would be established in the kingdom of God. We would see a continual and always changed community because of what Father's Love is doing. And Father, as we now pray together as a church, as to our giving and our support financially in this offering, we pray that it would meet it to its abundance, Father, and you would use us to give into this ministry, believing that you are going to use that for your glory and your kingdom. Father, we give you praise for this day. It's been wonderful.